Four of Judah gets up. This week at the end of the week, starting Thursday morning, we're going to leave early on Thursday morning to the north. I'm going to put up a sign with the whole schedule, but just so you should know, as the sign said on the board for a month already, we leave Thursday morning early in the morning. I'll go over the whole schedule. Our first stop is Meiron. Actually, the first stop is probably Yishmael Kohen Gadol. We'll talk about it at a different time. Then Meiron of Shimbar Yechai, and go through beautiful Nachal Amud, where all the tzaddikim walk from Meiron to Tzfat, and walk into Tzfat. We're not just a yeshiva that I remember the very beginning of the yeshiva. We used to come to Tzfat Friday, and like 5 minutes before Shabbos, can I run down to the mikvah? It's not a proper way to go into a place with such kedusha, It's not a proper way to create a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos. You have to go early. You have to connect. And that's what we'll do, Bezer Hashem. And we're starting it now with Rav Judah to speak about this stuff. I probably couldn't think of a better person to do this, to be making us for Shem Baruch Hai and all the tzaddikim there. And just to finish off, that I have a box of pamphlets. It's all the tzaddikim in Tzfat. Instead of having Yom Ian and watching you guys go out one by one to lunch, so I figured better to give you on your own time. You can pretend it's when you're going to sleep, just pretend it's a phone and hold it up while you're reading it. You can even press buttons if you really want. And you can read it on your own time. It has the Arizal, Shlomo Alkabetz, the Ramak, the Chadodi, the Chassidish, the 19th century Bat Ayin, Rav Chaim Chernovitz. I'm going to give it out to you guys. I'm going to ask. I made a mistake. I did it. With a spiral. They weren't supposed to do with a spiral, they're supposed to do with a staple. So Mr. Naiman wants them all back. So if you really want to keep it, speak to me afterwards, and I'll let you keep it. But that, if it means something to you, if it means nothing to you, then don't keep it. What I am asking you guys is to please read it. Your own time, easy reading, beautiful stories, beautiful people, your own time, take it up to your dorm room, read it whenever you want, lay on the grass in the front, read it. Your time, but just know what you're doing. Don't go into this blindly, having no idea. You go to Tzfat, and you're all excited, and you're dancing, and you don't know who the Ramak was. It's a busha. It's without seichel. So that's what I did. And even if you heard about the Ari, what do you know from the Ari? Just take this. It's 15 pages, quick read. I'm going to give it after Maariv. I'll give it out to everybody. Again, you could keep it. Just ask me. If you're just going to throw it away, just bring it back. We'll have a box to put it back in. If it really means a lot to you and you're going to keep it and you're going to read it, then you can keep it. Just to finish off, we're going to the north in the Hasidic world. When you go to the north, it's called Matzpinim. Matzpinim means, what does Matzpinim mean? It means going to the Tzafon. The people are going to the north. Matzpinim, the people are going to the north. But on the deeper level, Matzpinim also means like Tzafun. People are going inside of themselves. Matzpinim. So we're also going to, while we're going to the north, also being matzpinim and going into ourselves. And this Shabbos is all about reaching very deep, deep hishkafta pnima inside. And the journey starts here tonight with Rav Judah.
It's a little bit of a dream come true to talk about matzpinim with Rav Mo. The next couple of days, so at the end of the week, in Shabbos, we'll be in the north. Shabbos and Tzfas. So everyone knows that the four holy cities, Chevron, Tveria, Tzfas, and Yerushalayim, correspond to the fundamental elements of the world, of earth, water, wind, and fire, respectively. Tzfas, will you be for Shabbos, corresponds to air, to wind, to ruach. Remember the Tesco and Almin and the Baal Shem Tov who settled in the Galil when the students of the Baal Shem Tov came to Eretz Israel to bring about the Messianic era. The Tesco explained the adage of Chazal that Avir de Eretz Israel Machkim, that the air, the Avir, the wind, the ruach, the air of Eretz Israel sharpens one's wisdom, enhances one's cognition of the divine, one's awareness of Hashem. The air of Eretz Yisrael, so to speak, the clean air of Eretz Yisrael in some existential way affects the way a person is able to perceive and understand the world and Hashem. So the Tepesker said that when he took a deep breath of the air coming into Tzvas, he understood what Chazal meant, that Avir de'Eretz Yisrael Machkim. Because there's something in the air. There's something in the air in the north, there's something in the air in the Galil, there's something that we breathe different in Tzvas. The 15th century was a time of renaissance. A time when the world was changing. Cultural trends, socially, politically, it was a time of invention, a time of creativity, in art, in literature, in music. The world was changing. There was something in the air in the 15th century. Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Gutenberg printed the first book. There was a dissemination of knowledge. The way that people learned, the way that people experienced, the way that people sensed the world around them changed. 15th century for Klal Yisrael was also a time of change. It was also a time of development. 1492, what happened? Columbus sailed the ocean blue and Klal Yisrael suffered through the expulsion from Spain. The Spanish Inquisition and the expulsion from Spain. When the Yidden left Spain, which was the cradle, which was where the main movers and shakers and doers and contributors to Jewish life were living and learning. After the expulsion from Spain, the Rift, the headquarters, so to speak, of creativity, of learning, of Jewish life and living, moved to Eretz Israel. And from the four corners, from Spain and from North Africa, Jews came to Eretz Israel. And the best and the brightest, the greatest luminaries of the generation, ended up in Tzfas. Tzfas in the 15th century was the renaissance of the world. It was like an all-star dream team, intergenerational dream team of Jews who were there. The greatest of the generation were in Tzfat. The greatest halachist, the greatest contributor to halacha of his generation, Rabbi Yosef Karo, Maran, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Kesef Mishnah, the Beis Yosef himself, Rabbi Yosef Karo was in Tzfas in the 15th century. At the same time, Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero, the author of the Talmud Devorah, about whom Rabbi Yosef Karo said at his Levaya, here is the Aron Habris, referring to the guf, to the body of Rav Moshe Cordovero, here is the Aron Habris. His brother-in-law, the greatest paitan of the generation, Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz, the author of the Luchadodi, was in Tzfas in the 15th century. The greatest darshan of the generation, one who was the greatest in parshanut of that generation, Rav Moshe Alshich, the Alshich HaKadosh, who was called HaKadosh, was in Tzfas in that generation. One after the other, greatness upon greatness. And then the reason why everyone located to Tzfas in the first place. The Ari HaKadosh. HaEloki, the godly. The godlike. We don't say that about human beings. We don't say that about people. Godly. But the Arizal, HaEloki, the godly, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, Zichrono Livracha, the great Ari HaKadosh, who came from North Africa to Tzfas, revolutionized the way we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way we talk about the divine, the way we live, the way we learn, the way we daven, about which Reb Chaim Vital, his great student, said, if all of the oceans were ink and all of the skies were parchment, I wouldn't even begin to be able to scratch the surface and give over what I learned from the Ari HaKadosh. The way we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way we relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the way we live our lives, changed, was revolutionized. There was a renaissance that took place during that generation. But why Dafka there? Why Tzfas? Why not Yerushalayim? Why not Hebron? Why not Tveria? Why did they end up in Tzfas, in the Galil? You see, when you're driving there, it's pastoral and it's beautiful and there's rolling hills and the sky is big and the air is different. But why Tzfas? Tzfat as a city was this hub of change, this hub of revolution, of messianic activity. It was a place where for generations Jews were drawn to and are drawn to connect to something that's transcendent, that's beyond themselves. A little bit hard to even put our finger on it. A little bit la'asad lava. And you'll see, you walk the streets at night, they call it Tzfat. If you look it up on Google, Tzfat is all about the mystical city. The city of Kabbalah. There's Kabbalah art, and there's Kabbalah food, and there's Kabbalah workshops, and there's Kabbalah tours, and there's Kabbalah t-shirts. And it's all this kind of mystical, it can almost be a little wishy. It's like, Ma Kesha, what are you talking about exactly? Can we put our finger on it exactly? But where did that come from? It's a city of air, of wind, of ruach, the spirit. But why? Why Tzfas? So there's a lot of different ways that people understand what where the name Tzfat comes from. Tzfat, which has the similar root as Tzafon, is north. As Rav Moshe said, Matzpinim, the people going to the north, they're also going beneath the surface. Tzofe v'yodea starenu, say in Yigdal. Tzofe, Tzfas comes from the word Tzofe l'tzapot, to look out toward, like Har HaTzofim, the mountain from which we look out, which we catch the view, to look toward. From the language of Mitzapin Lishua, we're looking toward, yearning for, wanting redemption. Tzfas, Tzofe v'yodea starenu. We look out toward, we examine, we're kind of searching starenu, the secret places, the secrets that exist inside ourselves. Tzfas represents the place in which we come in contact with a reality that's beneath the surface. We all know it to be true. Is that there's a reality, there's a world that we can see, that we can touch, that we can taste, that we can feel, that we can explain, that's rational. It can be measured. It can be defined. That's the world with which we come in contact, that we can feel, that we can it's topical. We can wrap our head around, so to speak. We can explain it. A world which is revealed. Alma disgalia. A world which is out there and open for us to see and perceive and explain and understand. But then we know that there's another reality, that there's something beneath the surface that we can't quite explain. Certain feelings, maybe certain yearning, certain pull, maybe. We can't quite put our finger on. A tug, something that we can't necessarily find the words, find the letters to explain certain feelings that we have, certain deeper thoughts and deeper feelings and deeper wantings. An anecdote of the kid once in the park was holding on to a little piece of plastic and running around in circles and laughing. Somebody said to him, "What are you doing?" He said, I'm flying a kite. And he looked up and said, "I didn't see any kite." He said, "You're not flying, I don't see any kite." "How do you know? How do you know you're flying? I don't see any kite." He said, "There's a kite there. It's very high up. How do you know? I don't see anything blowing in the wind. I don't see." And the kid is running around holding this thing. This is the kid, little child. What are you doing? How do you know that you're holding a kite?" And he says to this adult, "Don't you feel the tug? There's certain things we can't necessarily see. Maybe they're far away. They're up in the air. They're up in the ruach." Flapping around, and a little bit beyond what we can see and explain, but we know that there's a tug. That's the alma de iskasia, the world of the concealed, that which lies beneath the surface. Tzofe v'yodea starenu. Hashem knows that there's a secret place inside of all of us, a deeper place, something that's beneath the surface. That's when we go to the tzafon, when a person's matzpin, when a person goes to tzfat. That's what we're looking for, to come in contact with that beyond place. You stand there and you look out into the hills beyond. Metzapin Yeshua. Why Dafka Tzfas? Why did the Arizal settle there? Anybody know? Generally, when people create a new Pale of Settlement, a new community, so you're looking for a place that's a Beit Shemesh is good because there's trains and it's in between Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv, so you can commute to work in either place. It's right off the main highway, so you're able to go live in either place. And there's also a commercial center here, and there's a lot of there's a lot of Anglos, so it's an easier way to, it's a softer landing when a person comes from Chutzlar. We're looking for certain things in a community, looking for certain things, elements, values in a place to settle. It's good for commerce. Maybe it's on a crossroads of a trade route or it's on a coast so that they're able to be near a dock, or there's some urban center there. Why Tzfat? It's the middle of nowhere. You see, if you're driving in the north and you're going around in circles now, there's new roads, but still you see there's just, even today, it's a sparsely settled area of Eretz Yisrael. Why did the Ari HaKadosh go there? What drew him to that place? What drew him to that place, to Tzfat, was the view. It was the view. It wasn't just the view of mountains that artists were able to paint beautiful sunsets. It was a view that people were able to stand on a hill and meditate and talk to Hashem. You could do that here in Beit Shemesh also. The Ari HaKadosh went to Tzfat because it looks out, Mitzapin, it looks out toward the holy city of Meron. Right across Nachal Amud that you're going to be in on Erev Shabbos. It looks out toward Meron. And in Meron is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai lived in the first century. He was one of the greatest Tanaim, student of Rabbi Akiva, the time of the Churban of Bayit Sheni. He's called Hatana HaEloki. Again, we don't say that about too many. Hatana HaEloki, the godly Tana. Nezer HaKodesh, the holy crown. Ashrei Elanatecha, fortunate is the one who brought you into the world, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What Moshe Rabbeinu brought down on Har Sinai, the tzaddik Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'v'Moshe Avdo, what Moshe Rabbeinu brought down on Har Sinai was the Torah of the revealed Torah, Nigla, that's why it's on a mountain. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was forced into hiding by the Romans, brought down the next stage of the Torah's revelation. He brought out the secret Torah, the Zohar HaKadosh, that was inside of a cave. Understand? Mountain, revealed, cave, concealed. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai continues the revelation at Har Sinai that Moshe Rabbeinu began, is continued through Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rashbi is buried in Meron. And that is where the Ari HaKadosh wanted to be looking out toward. Because anything that exists in time exists in space. And it also exists in the soul of the individual. There's a phenomenon called Ashan. Olam, Shana, Nefesh. Olam means space, the world. Shana is time. And Nefesh is how that is expressed in the soul of the individual. If something exists in time, it is also manifest in soul, in a person. Also expressed in a place. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik, expressed in time the holiest person and the holiest time. The tzaddik, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu, is manifest in time as Shabbos. When the Arizal would go out on Friday afternoon for Kabbalah Shabbos, and that's the birthplace of Kabbalat Shabbat. The birthplace of the way that we are Mekabel Shabbos. Everyone alike. Man, woman, and child, Ashkenazic and Sephardic, Lithuanian, Hasidic, modern Orthodox, and everyone in between. It's Kabbalah Shabbos on Friday evening. We go through the Kapitel, each chapter in Tehillim corresponding to another day of the week until we get to Mizmor Shir, Leom HaShabbos, with L'chadodi composed in the 15th century of Tzfat, right in the middle. And during L'chadodi, during Kabbal Shabbos, the Arizal would go out of Tzfat and walk down the hill to go to the field, the place of the 6 days of the week, the place of work, and face toward Meron. And be Mekabel Shabbos by looking toward the Tzaddik Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Because facing the Tzaddik, being Mekabel the Tzaddik, is being Mekabel Shabbos. Because the Tzaddik is Shabbos. The most sublime and holiest day of the week, Shabbat, which gives vitality and life, Chiyus, to the 6 days of the week, is expressed in Nefesh by the Tzaddik, who draws vitality into the Jewish people. Vayaminu b'Hashem,
Uve Moshe Avdo. Az Yashir Moshe. The song of Shabbos is the song of the Tzaddik. And the Ari HaKadosh in trying to bring about the Messianic era. And there's 25 fundamental volumes of the writings of the Arizal explaining the teachings of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Ari HaKadosh was trying to bring about the Messianic era. The world was shaking. Michelangelo, Da Vinci, the printing press, Lahavdil, the whole world was changing. There was a renaissance. That renaissance was created by the Ari HaKadosh. There was a window. There was like a hatch opened up of divine intellect that came down into the world. A burst of inspiration of Chachma that came into the world through the Ari HaKadosh. As a continuation of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who is continuing Moshe Rabbeinu. The revealed Torah on Har Sinai, the concealed Torah in the cave, and in Meiron by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and continued by the Ari HaKadosh in Tzfas. So when the Ari HaKadosh was looking out, mitzapin li Yeshua, waiting for the end of history, waiting for Mashiach Tzidkenu, me'ein olam haba Shabbos, yom Shabbos menucha. Shabbos is a little bit of a taste of the Messianic era. When he went to sing the song of Shabbos, waiting for the great day, a little bit of a taste of the world to come, a little bit of a taste of the end of history, he would face Meiron toward Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai shared a soul, a chelik in the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. And every single Jew has a little bit of that soul. Neshama Klalis, we share a chelik in that soul. And that soul is expressed a little bit in every single one of us. And every single one of us has a secret. And every single one of us has the breath of God. And the tzaddik identifies that in us. So the Ari HaKadosh is trying to elevate all the 6 days of the week toward Shabbos and all of history toward Mashiach and all of Klal Yisrael toward the tzaddik. And that's why when the Talmidim and the Baal Shem Tov came to Eretz Yisrael a couple of hundred years later, they dafka went to the north. Rabbi Avram Kalisker, Rabbi Mendel Vitebsker, they went north. They were trying to bring about Mashiach, and they knew, as the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, that Mashiach will come when we reveal the wellsprings of the depths of Torah, when we're able to self-actualize and access that which lies beneath the surface of who we are. When we rip off the facade, when we take off the mask and express who we really are, the breath of God and expression of Hashem in the world, when we reveal that nekudas tzaddik, that aspect of the tzaddik inside of us, as Yashir Moshe, that's Mashiach. So they came, and Reb Chaim Chernovitzer came. And what was Reb Chaim Chernovitzer doing in Tzfas? What was he doing in the north? He was writing the Sidur Rosh HaShabbos, that everything was Shabbos. Everything was the Or HaTzadik, as Shlomo HaMelech, the greatest Hasidic Rebbe of his era, the wisest of all men. King Solomon says, Or Tzadikim Yismach, the light of the Tzadik gladdens, it brings joy. So Reb Chaim Chernovitzer was in Tzfas and he was talking about Shabbos. Everywhere he turned, he saw Shabbos. Because like the sun reflecting off the moon, the light of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai from Meiron is reflecting off of Tzfas. Do you know what it is that you're going to be in Meiron going to Tzfas? Do you know you're retracing not just Jewish history, something chitzoni, something outside. We're walking literally in the footsteps of Tzadikim. Tracing the path of the inner world, of what's taking place inside of us. We're part of that Hishtalshalus. From Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in Meiron to the Ari HaKadosh in Tzfas and to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, down to our generation. In the last generation of exile and the first generation of redemption. Drawing vitality into the entire world the same way that we draw vitality from Shabbos into the week. But just a simple question, Maisa, just understanding historically here, without realizing that most of us don't have the Jewish timeline down. Understand that the Ari HaKadosh was there, what century? 15th century, Renaissance. The Ari HaKadosh was standing in Tzfas looking out toward Meiron in the 15th century. When did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai live? First century. That means that there's about 1500 years that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is not alive. He's facing a place that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is buried.
a cemetery, essentially. I mean, Bechlal, the hot spot of Jewish life in Tzfas today is the cemetery. I mean, most places you have a place where people live, and then when people die, they're buried in a cemetery on the outskirts of the town. Tzfas is the opposite. Tzfas, the cemetery, is the place called the Beis HaChayim. That's the place of Jewish life, and then there's people live near the cemetery. It's strange a little bit. But is it strange that's what the Ari HaKadosh was looking toward to be Mekabel Shabbos? That's what the Arizal was looking toward, a cemetery, looking toward Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's burial place. It was 1,500 years that he wasn't in the world. Tzadikim b'mitasam nikram chayim. Tzadikim in their death are called alive. They're liberated in death. When a person's alive in the world, in this physical manifestation, I'm here, I can't be somewhere else. I'm standing in this spot, I'm not in another spot. But after the histalkus of a tzaddik, when a tzaddik leaves the world, leaves their physical constraints, there's hispashtus, there's influence that's even greater than they are when they're alive. Because b'mitasan, in their death, they're called chayim. In yoni diyoma. The Gemara tells us that when the lottery fell in the month of Adar, Haman was excited. Why was Haman excited that it fell in Adar? It's the month of Moshe Rabbeinu died. The tzaddik died. There's no more tzaddik. The schus finished. Moshe died. But Haman didn't realize, the Gemara tells us, that in the patira of a tzaddik, the death of a tzaddik is just the beginning. Where it says, Zayin Adar is not just Moshe Rabbeinu's yahrzeit, it's also his birthday. It says the Ben Ishchai, it doesn't mean that that's the day that he was born, literally. Yeah, also. But the tzaddik is born after his patira. Tzaddikim b'mitasam nikram chayim. After they leave the world physically, there's an even greater hashra, there's greater influence. Or tzaddikim yismach. From Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to the Ari HaKadosh to the Baal Shem. It's not a Hasidic idea. The first time that we see Moshe, we are introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is not a Hasidic idea. The first time that we are introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vateira oso kitov, they saw that he was good. The room was filled with light. Vititzpineu, that light was concealed. The light of the tzaddikim is concealed. Tzfas is a place where we go to reveal that light. Vititzpineu, it's hidden away. Marov tuvcha asher tzafanta l'reyecha. That good, that light of the tzaddikim is accessible in the city of Tzfas. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato. Let's play the game. Chassid or not chassid? Why? Because he lived before the Baal Shem Tov. He lived before the Baal Shem Tov. The Vilna Gaon counts Ramchal as one of his great influences. So does the Baal Shem Tov, HaKadosh. Derech Hashem, Mesiyos Yisharim, says Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato, when David HaMelech describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu rising up and taking a captive, so to speak, bringing from this world, Keviyachal, to the upper worlds, Alisa Lamarom Shavisa Shevi, you Hashem, Alisa Lamarom Shavisa Shevi, the Ramchal says, Alisa Lamarom Shavisa Shevi is a remez to the tzaddikim. Who did you take captive from this world, someone who has a physical body in this world, but really a shaykh to the upper worlds? Shavisa Shevi, captive. Shin Beis Yud, Shimon Bar Yochai. Yitzchak Ben Shlomo Luria, the Ari HaKadosh. Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, Yud Beis Shin, Shevi. Says the Ramchal, there is such a notion as a tzaddik that's different. There is a tzaddik that is in this world that has feet on the ground and head in the clouds. Kichol v'ashamayim v'aretz l'cha Hashem agdul v'agvur atifes anitzach ha'od. In the sixth sphera of Yesod is tzaddik. Tzaddik Yesod Olam. And it's dafka, that tzaddik that's bringing the shefa into the world. Bringing the blessing into the world. And it's specifically headquartered in the north. And we see it in these parashios. Truma Tetzava, we saw it. That's where the Shulchan is positioned in the north. And the Korban Tomet is shechted in the north. Bringing sustenance, bounty, and blessing to Klal Yisrael from the north. So the Ari HaKadosh went to Tzfas that he can face toward Meiron, so he can face toward the Tzaddik. So he can be Makabel Shabbos, because the Tzaddik is the Kedush of Shabbos. So that he can look out to be Metzapin LeYeshua to bring Mashiach. Because the Koach of Tzaddikim awakens our desire to fix the world, to change the world, because we believe that we can. Because when we connect to the Ruach of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and to the Ari HaKadosh and to all the tzaddikim amitim of all the generations, we connect to that neshama klalis, that aspect of them that's in us. And I realize that I'm good. And I also have that ability. So fair, v'yodeas tareinu. We always think that if we think, if someone really knew what I was really like, my sick thoughts, all the bad things that I think about and that I've done, if a person really knew what I was like, oy vey. If they saw my browsing history of what I think about in my head, forget about it. They'd lock me up, they'd run me. I would ever want to be my roommate. Let alone no one would want to marry me. Forget about it. Not so, say the tzaddikim. Not so, said Reb Nachman. In the name of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Who received it from the Arizal and from Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? Not so. So fev yodev, a person attaches themselves to the truth, to the secret, which is revealed by these tzaddikim in the north. We know that the secret that lies inside of every single one of us is that we have the breath of God, that we're good. And that we want the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that we want to be good. That the nature of every single one of us is light and goodness. When we go to these places, you have the opportunity to attach to that. To let that wakes itself up inside of us. The end of the Pesach Seder, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, and after the Sipur, after the story, toward the end of the meal, right before benching, everybody's running around, and it's usually the children who are most engaged, because the children who are least cynical, looking for one thing. We got the story. We know about redemption now. We know that Hashem took us out of Egypt and will take us out of Egypt. There's one thing left to do, and that's to find Safon. That's to find the broken part, the other part of the matzah that's hidden away. The Ma'arov Tuvcha Asher Tzafanta L'Re'acha. And once we find the secret, once we find the hidden part, Safon, from the language of Tzafon, we're able to bench, we're able to do Hallel, we're able to sing the song of Shabbos, the song of L'Asid Lavo, and we're able to bring in Nirtza. But it's only if we're looking for what's hidden in ourselves, the good that's inside of all of us, the good that's inside of our friend, the good that's inside of every single Jew, the Amech Kulam Tzadikim. To be this week, when you go to the north, when Matzpinim, we're looking within ourselves, we're believing so much in ourselves and so much in the Koch HaTzadikim. How much the Tzadikim believe in us, how great, what an unbelievable privilege it is for us in our generation, in this door, to be able to go in Eretz Israel. To be there, dafka by kivur tzaddikim, specifically there, b'mitasam nikram chayim, because that's the place that's most alive. Kolev ben Yefuna knew it when he went to the Avos to daven, and we know it when we go to the north, daven by Rashbi, daven by the Uri HaKadosh, and daven all these places. Hashem should help that we be zocha to realize that there's something in the air, to take a whiff of that, to take a deep, deep, deep breath, to fill ourselves with that or tzaddikim that's in the north. And if I could take this opportunity to ask, just have in mind a little bit in nefesh, take a deep breath and have all of Klal Yisrael in mind, because when we're there, up in the north, we have the ability to attach to something well beyond ourselves. Hashem should help that you have an unbelievable, unbelievable Shabbos, an unbelievable trip to the north. Come back with renewed kochos and be mechazik all of us.